Are you ready?
Yeah.
We have discussed at this meeting the very difficult and disturbing security situation, including the incident yesterday. It is too early to comment further on that particular issue until facts have been more firmly established. We've also been discussing the prospects for resumption of talks. I said before coming to Sri Lanka that I'm not particularly optimistic, and there is no progress to report from this meeting. But we'll be returning now to Colombo for further discussions with the government.
Now, during the last two, including this visit, we have been coming straight from Colombo to meet the LTT without meeting the government side. Do you think?
Well, we did have a meeting yesterday with Secretary General of the Peace Secretariat in Colombo, Mr. Dhanapala, and we are meeting with the President tomorrow. So we had a meeting with the government side before coming here, and we'll have a meeting tomorrow as well.
And did you bring any message from the government side to the LTT today?
Well, certainly we brought messages from the government side on all the aspects that I mentioned, both the security issues, the economic issues, and the issue about possibilities for resuming peace talks. But I'm not going to comment on the details of those messages because we are in a process of dialogue with both sides.
But this kind of visit, so it gives a true impression to the international community that peace process is under progress, right? But actually there's no actual progress in the southern side. But LTT, they have a good stand, and they had a plan what are they going to talk. But what you're going to tell to the media?
Well, what I told the media before coming here is I'm not optimistic. I think it is a disturbing situation that both parties will need to undertake measures to restore the peace process, to ensure respect for the ceasefire agreement, and to try to bring themselves back to the peace table.
Why are you now?
Well, you don't have to do much else than look at the ground situation. And you also have to take into account how the international community is looking at the situation now. They're looking at it with gravity, and there is much at stake for Sri Lanka, and both parties need to take the responsibility upon them if this peace process is to continue.
But Dona, can they agree to give the donation to the Northeast people if the peace process starts perfectly? But then last few months, they granted some, Japan government granted a rehabilitation ministry to 23.2 million for resettling the people. So, which means, in the peace process, whether they can give this grant to the government?
Well, there are various pockets in donor government budgets, and some are ongoing activities that have been going on for years all over this country. And some money are possible money if the peace process goes on. But right now there is a lot of competing interest in the world. Right now we have a disastrous situation in the Sudan, for instance, in the Darfur region. We have ongoing challenges in Afghanistan, there are ongoing challenges in Iraq. So Sri Lanka cannot be complacent and expect the world to sit and wait with all their money to until the Sri Lankans are ready. Those money will go elsewhere unless the Sri Lankans take responsibility, unless the government and the LTT take responsibility to bring the peace process forward.
After speaking to the Secretary General of the Peace Secretariat, have your hopes increased? Possibly?
I think it is not appropriate to make any judgment at this stage. I think we need to conclude our consultations tomorrow and on Wednesday before making any judgment about the state of the peace process. And that's why I said that from the meetings so far, I have no progress to report.
Are you happy with the LTT's patience they are showing now?
Well, I think it is important and it's positive that both sides verbally express their desire to continue the peace process and to uphold the ceasefire agreement. But it's equally disturbing what we see on the ground, that the situation is not stable, and people must realize that if peace is to be established, there will have to be a peace process, and the ceasefire agreement will have to be consolidated. And what is happening now is a weakening of the ceasefire agreement, and that is pretty serious.
So why don't you think any strong decision they have taken against the Sri Lankan government? Let's say, if you say they suspend the role in the facilitator, definitely they will take a quick decision. Otherwise, they will take the time, and they won't tell the immediate answer. No? So now, last 3 months, there's no process.
As I said, both sides have responsibility here. Both sides need to show caution and demonstrate discipline if this peace process is to continue and if the ceasefire agreement is to continue. There are destabilizing elements on the ground, and unless that is dealt with effectively by both sides, there is a risk that minor incidents can spark off bigger incidents. That's why we are trying to caution both sides not to be complacent, but to redouble their efforts to move the peace process forward.
From the ground situation, would you agree that the Sri Lankan government is using the CFA? They are more interested in the CFA than resuming the peace talks.
We have to judge by what both parties say, and that is they want to continue the peace process, they want to continue peace talks, but then both sides will have to move on from the verbal statements into actually getting to an agreement. And in that sense, we're working on trying to bring the parties closer. And it's not so that one side has more responsibility than the other. Both sides will have to move if this is to be successful.
Under the present circumstances, do you think that the peace process will survive?
I hope so. I think there is a significant desire in all parts of society in Sri Lanka, on the Sinhalese side and on the Tamil side and among Muslims, for the peace process to continue, or for peace to continue. But what several forces and several parties will have to acknowledge is that if you want peace, you also need a peace process. You can't attack the peace process all the time if you want peace. Those two things are interlinked, and that's why we're underlining to both sides that more energy needs to be put into the peace process. The peace process must be first and foremost on the national agenda if this is to succeed. It can't be a second or third or fourth priority.